It's great to see everyone this morning. If you're following along, we're going to be in the book of Acts, chapter 15, 36 through 39. There's an old story about a preacher leaving a church. At his farewell dinner, he tried to encourage one of the staunch members that were there. "Don't be so sad. The next preacher might be better than me." She replied, "That's what they said last time, but it just keeps getting worse." That was something encouraging to hear, wasn't it? Life can be very challenging most of the time as we live our lives, and we need a lot of help along the way. We face so many challenges at every turn. It's important for us to have people in our lives that will get behind us and tell us, we can do it. What do people need when they're struggling? They need encouragement. What do people need when they need to be challenged to do something that may seem out of their normal range of ability? Again, they need encouragement in those things. Those who have children, when they make those final attempts at walking, what do you do? You don't tell them, "Come on, dummy, you should be walking by now. You're 4 months old." No, you encourage them. You try to get them to take those steps. There's a little bit of fear there, but they want to walk. So we encourage them. What does a person who's struggling with their faith need from other people? They need to have someone tell them that they don't need to have someone tell them that they're worthless and messing up and are going to hell. They need for us to help them along that way, not be discouraging. A guy named Will Arthur Ward said, "Flatter me and I may not believe you. Criticize me and I may not like you. Ignore me and I may not forgive you. Encourage me, and I will never forget you." When people encourage us, we remember those times, in our life. So what can change the life of another person? That is encouragement. Our lives are full of people who have taken the time to encourage us along life's way. We remember those people. And today we're going to look at the concept of encouragement. Hopefully this will inspire us to encourage each other more each and every day as we walk and grow in Christ. So what is encouragement? When we say we're encouraging another person, what does that really mean? Are we encouraging someone when we yell at them or tell them they're not going to amount to nothing in life? I don't think so. Is being critical of everything being an encourager? We try to encourage our children not by criticizing them, or anyone else for that matter. You don't take them out and try to learn a sport and tell them you're just clumsy, you're stupid, you can't do it. We don't tell them those things. We tell them, you can learn, you can improve, you can do better. Keep trying. Motivate them to do that. So encourage means to come alongside of. If we're going to encourage others, we need to come alongside of them and help them. The word can mean that we come alongside of them and urge them to be cautious in some places, or urge them to do better in others. The root of the word encourage comes from the same word Jesus used when speaking of the Holy Spirit in John 14:16, and also verse 26, also John 15 and verse 26, and also John 16:7. An important part of encouraging another person is the willingness to step in and walk beside them. People will take better of being admonished if they know you're willing to get into the trenches with them. If you're going to help them along the way, to not to stumble and to do better and encourage them, we need to walk with them and encourage them. They just don't need a word and then you disappear. They need someone who's always there, always encouraging, always helping where need be. So, would you like to be known as a son or daughter of encouragement? Barnabas in Acts 4:36 was a person who must have been an inspiring person to be around. I imagine he was a good balance for the hard-charging Paul. Well, let's read our scripture here, chapter 16. And verse 36-39. And the jailer reported these words to Paul, saying, The magistrates have sent to let you go. Therefore, come out now and go in peace. But Paul said to them, they have beaten us publicly, uncondemned, men who are Roman citizens, and have thrown us into prison. And do they let us now throw us out secretly? No. Let them come themselves and take us out. The police reported these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Roman citizens. So they came and apologized to them, and they took them out and asked them to leave the city. And so they went out from the prison and visited Lydia, and when they had seen the brothers, they encouraged them and departed. So encouragement has always been a part of that. And it's easy to be an encourager when you've gone through some of the same things. Now, they just got let out of jail, and they went out. First thing they did was encourage the others. So when we see other people go through their hardships and come out with a more faith or a strong faith, it encourages us also. So what ways can we encourage others? If we're going to encourage them, we have to do so that will be most effective in life. We get in the game with others. Now, Paul and his companions, they were in the game. They were going to jail. They were getting beaten. They were, you know, suffering all these things. There was nothing special or privileged for them. They didn't sit in some high tower telling people what to do, having them face the dangers of being a Christian in a hostile land or anything like that. In Acts 13, we see John Mark on the first missionary journey, but he turns back to Pamphylia. These missionary journeys were trips in which Paul would go to plant churches. Then in Acts 15, it is time for the second missionary journey, and Barnabas wants to take John Mark with them, and Paul is not going to have any part of it. Remember that big argument they had. If it were up to Paul, John Mark had his chance and failed. John Mark was not an encourager. He abandoned them. In Acts chapter 15, verses 36 through 39, after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are. Barnabas wanted to take John, called Mark, along with them also. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there occurred such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another. And Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. Now John Mark could have been ruined for service from God if not for Barnabas being willing to take him along. Barnabas was willing to get into the game with John Mark. So John Mark had initially made that failure, and Paul was, you know, wasn't going to have someone like that within him. But Barnabas saw, you know, what Paul, John called Mark, or John Mark, what he was capable of. He displayed a positive attitude. Just the fact that he would have John Mark with him showed that, I know there's something valuable within you that you can contribute. You stumble first, but I still believe in you. So we have to show people that we believe in them, we believe in the faith that they have, and we believe that God is going to do better for them. If we're going to encourage others, we have to maintain a positive attitude. You know, someone says, well, I can't do that, and come up and says, yeah, I don't think you can do it either. You know, that's not encouraging to them. You can encourage someone while pushing them past what they think they can do. You can always do a little more. You can always do a little better. They have to have that positive attitude. So, you know, it's like when we teach our kids how to ride a bike or, you know, hit a ball or something like that. It's kind of discouraging because, you know, how come you can't get close to the ball and hit it? And then eventually they coordinate and everything, and they can ride the bike without stumbling, and they can ride. But if we discourage them, it's going to take them longer to do that. If we encourage them, then, you know, we instill that faith that we have in them and in them, and then they can do it. So we have to encourage or inspire faith in others. A fellow named Maurice McNeely instilled, you know, faith in a friend of his. You know, and so this fellow always said, this is a man that I respect. So, you know, he said when he told me he could do something, I would start to believe I could do it. So he motivated his friend to do things that maybe he didn't think he could do. So encouragement is always a good thing. People will achieve greater things if they know people believe in them. It's kind of like people who maybe have trouble with public speaking. He says, well, think about this. These people want you to do well. They're encouraging you. They want to come and hear something that's interesting or motivational or whatever, you know, whatever setting it is. If it's everything happening now, the great valedictorian speeches and speeches that leaders and other people give at commencements and stuff like that to encourage. So people want you to do well. So we need to encourage others so that they can achieve everything they can. Whether they're little tykes just growing up or 80-year-olds who are finding Christ. So why do we encourage others? Why should we make it a priority to be like Barnabas, to be an encourager? And there's a bunch of reasons. Here's a few of them. To keep the faint-hearted from quitting. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:14 and Acts 11:22-23. It's a little hard to say. The growing church at Antioch. People need encouragement each and every day in their lives, and they have to get it from somewhere. If all they hear is the bad news, you get plenty of bad news from the news. You know, the old saying, if it bleeds, it leads. You're going to hear everything awful that happened, all the crime, all the murders, all the assaults, and you're going to hear about the tons of people who got killed in this place for just being this or that. We hear plenty of the bad news. So we need to encourage each other and be encouraged by the Bible. In Acts chapter 11, verses 22 and 23, the news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. Then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them with all resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. Now, it's funny, Barnabas is called the son of encouragement, and what's he doing? He's encouraging them with a resolute or firm heart to stay true to the Lord. He was excited about what he saw, and he encouraged them even more to do that. And, 1 Thessalonians 5:14, we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. We don't want to see people go back to the old way of life. So, admonish the unruly doesn't mean to browbeat them or tell them they're worthless, that they'll never get it straight or anything like that. To admonish them, again, is encouragement. You're headed the wrong way. We want you to be this way, and we want to encourage you to, and we know you can. So, we want to admonish those who are unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, because they're the ones that are on the fence. They're the ones that don't know why things aren't getting better for them, even though they've become a Christian. There's still that age-old belief. People believe that I'll become a Christian and my problems are going to go away, and that's not the case. The problem we have is that the devil's still out there, and now you're not one of his. So do you think he's going to cut you a break? No. Things might even get worse for you. So, we also encourage to draw out the potential in others. Deuteronomy 1:37 through 39. Also, if we look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 through 11, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, Luke along is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. So, again, we see that potential. Paul didn't want to have anything to do with John Mark because he abandoned him on one missionary journey. Didn't want him on the second one. And then he asked for him to be sent. So we can see when we encourage others, even when they fall and stumble, we tell them to get back up and try again. Joshua in Deuteronomy 1:37-39. Joshua had been at Moses' side for a long time. Moses is telling the people it will be Joshua who will lead them into the promised land, which Moses was banned by God from entering because the incident involving Moses' temper. So Moses asked the people in Deuteronomy 1:38 to encourage Joshua. John Mark in Acts 15:36-39, 2 Timothy 4:11, which we read, we see how John Mark made that turnaround. So our encouragement of people is very important. You know, Paul wasn't willing to have him on that second journey, but, you know, Barnabas was. So Barnabas made that turnaround through encouraging him. So, you know, he can do much for us, Paul said by then. Second missionary journey, he says, he can't do anything for me. I don't want him with me. But, you know, he can do much for us by the time he's seen his turnaround. So, how many people have we encouraged to go out in Christian service in the church? So we need to get people excited about, you know, being a Christian and being, you know, what we are in life. There's a lot to be happy about. We should be the happiest people on earth. Not at Disneyland. Disneyland might be a fun place to go. But to be in God's presence, to be with Him, and to know that we can live with Him forever in glory, that should put a smile on every one of our faces. So let's encourage others to have that. We have to help people to see God in tough times. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, and Romans 8, 28. Because people will have tough times in life. So we need to encourage to have them keep God in the mix, to have them keep Him in mind, to have them pray to Him. So when we're in the midst of struggles in life, we need to turn to God, not turn away from Him. And in that same way, we can express and encourage others by saying, I've been through that hard time. I've been through that difficulty. And I'm a stronger Christian because of it. Let me encourage you to do the same. So, you know, Romans 8:28 is a good one to strengthen others. Philippians 1:14 and Proverbs 27:17. We know all these verses that talk about to persevere, to follow God, to lean on God, to know that God is the creator of the universe, and there's no problem that we have that's too large for Him. We should always be trying for others to help others to have a stronger faith. We need to make sure that, you know, we invest ourselves in other people, so to speak, in encouraging them. Paul, when he was even in prison, was trying to encourage others. Philippians 1:14. You know, he'd encourage others even if he was in prison. He talked to the guards while he was in prison and converted them. So he was always, he never looked, oh, woe is me, I'm in prison. But he was encouraging that way. To strengthen the church community. Hebrews 10:24-25. Let's look at that. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So, we encourage each other when we're here. The body of believers and, you know, problems that we have, and we share with one another, we pray together for you know, our problems and the problems of everyone else, and that encourages us. We gather together on the first day of the week in part to help build each other up as we go through life. We go out into the world for, you know, 6 days, and, you know, we get discouraged at what we see, we get discouraged at the condition of everything, you know, just wears down on us. But we come here to be uplifted. We need each other, and a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. We need to do all we can to strengthen the church family, the Christian community, even those in Christian communities around us, as they face their struggles. So, we encourage each other, as the Hebrews writer said in chapter 10. So, why do we have to encourage each other? We need to be a strong church that has an impact on the world around us. We need to be strong Christians that have an impact in our little world where we're at. Someone named Gene Nadesh, a 214-pound homemaker, was desperate to lose weight. Went to the New York City Department of Health, where she was given a diet devised by Dr. Norman Joffel. Two months later, discouraged about the 50-plus pounds still to go, she invited six overweight friends whom to share the diet and talk about it and to stay on it. Together, 28 years later, 1 million members attend 250,000 Weight Watchers meetings in 24 countries every week. Why was Nadesh able to help people take control of their lives? To answer that, she tells a story. She says when she was a teenager, she used to cross a park where she saw mothers gossiping while toddlers sat on the swings with no one pushing them. "I'd give them a push," says Nadesh, "and you know what happens when you push a kid on a swing? Pretty soon, he's, you know, pumping it and doing it himself. And that's what my role is like there. I'm here to give a push." So, encouragement can achieve a lot of different things in life. You know, encouragement on a sports team together can encourage them to win a game and do their best. Encouragement together can help us to be strong Christians. Encouragement can help a weak Christian. Encouragement can help a Christian that's not, you know, doing what they're supposed to do if they need admonishment. We need encouragement each and every day. And in a world that is kind of discouraging, we need to be that encouragement. It goes a long way. You know, we don't need to be that person, "I knew it wouldn't work," or "I told you so." It's time to be that encourager of others. So we're called to be a blessing to others in life. So whose life are we blessing with encouragement today? I don't know what your condition is this morning, but won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?